Morning's reading is from Hebrews chapter 13, the first 9 verses. It can be found on page 1211 of the Church Bibles. It's entitled Concluding Exhortations. Keep on loving each other as brothers. Do not forget to entertain strangers, for by so doing, some people have entertained angels without knowing it. Remember those in prison as if you were their fellow prisoners, and those who are ill-treated as if you yourself were suffering. Marriage should be honoured by all, and the marriage bed kept pure. For God will judge the adulterer and all the sexual immoral. Keep your lives free from the love of money and be content with what you have, because God has said, "Never will I leave you, never will I forsake you." So we say with confidence, "The Lord is my helper, I will not be afraid. What can man do to me?" Remember your leaders who spoke the word of God to you. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. Do not be carried away by all kinds of strange teachings. It is good for our hearts to be strengthened by grace, not by ceremonial foods, which are of no value to those who eat them. Amen.
Thank you, Chris, for bringing this reading to us. This morning, we are going to celebrate Jesus, for he is the same. Let us approach this theme by an indirect method. Jack, I need your help. By an indirect method, using an antonym or an opposite for the word the same. We all know it is the change. Let us approach this theme through this way. We all know, obviously, notice every day there are changes happening within ourselves and around us. Both our internal and external lives are pacing with each other. Either our inner desires would like to cope up with the external accessibility in the world, or the external availability fulfills our inner desires or influence our inner being. They influence each other. They compete with one another to see which one is exceeding the other. This morning, let us ponder about Jesus' supremacy nature of remaining the same, which is contrast to the changes that are happening within ourselves and around us. We are not same every day. We do not behave consistently. And our lifestyle changes with the time. And our thinking changes with this fast spinning world. When we look into ourselves, we can find out that the changes that have happened to us is completely different from what it was few years ago. Some changes are for good growth, and some might lead to declination. Let us do this by a simple exercise. I haven't realized that Richard would come with an exercise, so we are doing lots of exercises today. So let me tell you, I have kept a few papers before you under the chair. Please grab one and use the pens or pencils around the windowsill. You can use those. Hope you all have got one paper and a pen or a pencil. Now you need to do two things. Need to choose two things. Choose one character that you find good in you. One character that you find good in you. And one character that you find not good in you, but you wish to get rid away from you. Yeah? Just one character that you find, I am good in that. I'm getting better. Something like that. And some character that you find, I'm really struggling. I need to get rid away from me. Now, after you have chosen, just draw two lines like the axis. Y and X axis, and divide X axis into 5 equal divisions and give numbers 20, 40, 60, 80 and 100. This represents your age. Yes. 20, 40, 60, 80, 100 is good. Yeah. So you keep that in there. So the top bit we are going to use for the good character you have chosen in you. And the bottom space, you are going to use the character which you have chosen not good in you. Over the time, how this character has been changed. This is what we are going to see. I can give an example. Patience. I was completely impatient during my young days, 20s, 25, yeah, until 40, I can see that I was completely impatient. I cannot tolerate things that are happening around me. But after 40, after I came to know the Lord, this is just an example, yeah. So after I came to know the Lord, after hearing the word of God, after knowing the people around me, after they have set an example before me, I learned how to keep patience. See, the graph is going slowly up. And then there are still some kinks, but still there is a steady progress, but it is not reaching the maximum. Still someday, who knows? So that is the example. So draw the character which you have chosen good in you and how it has varied over the period of age. Some might finish within 20. Is there anyone within 20? Yeah, I can see that. So your graph will be very small. More than 60. 60, good. Yeah, but it is not my example, Pinu. And the bad one, for example, caring. I used to be a good carer. I loved people. I was spending time to go and meet them and spending time with them. But after getting married, after having lots of problem around me in the fact of children and husband, yeah. And I have no time even to look after people externally. Even my problems are enough to handle. But it is not good. Yeah, so it is increasing in the bottom and then going. You can see the arrows on the left-hand side. Yeah, choose something which you are good and not good. Have you done that? Yeah. PowerPoint, there is a one thing to rotate, yeah? Okay, so you have done that. You are going to refer that for the rest of the sermons. Yeah. Now look into your graph. You might see there is a change or a character has been changing over the period of time. We are not the same. We cannot be the same. But when we say the word the same, this verse comes to our mind immediately. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. It does not mean that Jesus is the same for a short span of time. Like example, yesterday, Saturday, and today, Sunday, and tomorrow. It doesn't mean like that. It means that Jesus is the same forever. He is consistent. His very nature is consistent for the time of the past, the present, and the future. Time cannot influence his unchanging nature. He is the same. Can anyone of us can say that, yeah, Jesus loved me last month, I'm sure, but this month I find a difference in him. Can we say that? Can we say that otherwise? Last year he used to care me a lot, but this year his attitude has changed. Can we say that? No. He is not the human to change. There is no ups, no downs. Whatever you name it, grace, mercy, love, faithfulness, kindness, gentleness, the list goes on. But in every aspects, he is the same. If you find or if you feel any changes, any ups and downs with Jesus, then our position and our distance with Jesus needs to be measured. Hebrews 13. This author is instructing us to strive for living a life that bears the good fruit of the Spirit. Hebrews 13, it starts with, as Chris read, it is the final chapter in the book of Hebrews, and this chapter is about the concluding exhortations. It is like after writing a letter, you might find something to include, which may be very important, but you want to include it before you finish it. And you name it as PS or NB or whatever. In my case, for example, I would say, like, if I write a letter to my daughter, don't forget to drink a glass of milk before going to bed. Something like that. So now, you keep the graph on one of your hands and take the Bible in the other hand and turn to Hebrews chapter 13. The page number is 1211. Hebrews 13, the last chapter in this book. We don't know who has written the book of Hebrews. It is still an ongoing debate. But we don't need to worry who has written this book. Rather, we can concentrate what the Holy Spirit has breathed for us. This chapter is full of instructions. The author has summarized all those what he has said in the previous chapters, and before concluding, he wants to say something urgently, but it is an important one, and he wants us to take all his teachings and put into practice in our life. Before he finishes, he urges us to do that. So this chapter, the concluding exhortations, take that. What we are going to do, when I say verse 1, one of you can read it out loud, just verse 1 alone, and then we meditate it, and it goes until 12 o'clock. Yeah. Keep on loving each other as brothers and sisters. Keep on loving. There is no time boundary for us to love anyone. We are asked to love one another with our fellow brothers and sisters as our own brothers and sisters in the world we have. Although, if you find any misunderstanding between one another, as we used to forgive with our own brothers and sisters, we need to forgive that and we need to keep on loving. We might have some quarrelsome or some argument with our own brothers and sisters, but are we continuing that? Rarely it would be. When we meet them again, we forget that. After all, he is my brother. After all, she is my sister. Let me forget it. So in that same way, we need to love one another in the fellowship in the middle of Christ. If we say that we love Christ, and when we can't love one another, then really we are not loving Christ. If we say that if Christ's love is in us, then it will definitely kindle us to seek for unity. Then it definitely motivates us to look for peace in our relationships. Then it will teach us or instruct us how to keep patience, even if something goes wrong with our relationship. We will give extra room for other people's fault. That's the way Christ's love works in us. We need to love, keep on loving. There is no time limit in this instruction. Loving, we can see that in this process, it is called in Greek the term Philadelphia. That means brotherly love. Philo, in Greek, it means that to love. Adelphos, in Greek, it means brother. Brotherly love or sisterly love, we need to have one another. That's why we have in the original handbook in the Bible, we have this term called Philadelphia. If you remember, in the book of Revelation, there is one place, one city called Philadelphia. It was named to have that meaning in them, to love one another. In that city, people need to love one another. They found that they are loving each other. And if you remember, there is a place in the United States called Philadelphia. And this name was given to that place to adopt this meaning. I'm not sure how far the love is there, but this is the meaning there. Now, verse 2. Who is going to read?
Do not forget to entertain strangers, for by so doing, some people have entertained angels without knowing it.
Do not forget to entertain strangers. We need to accommodate everyone with us. If we are inviting a friend, expecting that that friend would invite you after a week or so, then it is not inviting a stranger. So hereafter, we are going to invite someone who will not invite us back. So we need to keep that in our mind. Strangers, if you find someone in the street, looking at the crossroad, nowhere to move forward, better give them some hospitality. Give them some accommodation. I know a friend, he is an elder friend. He died last year, but in his prayer meeting after the funeral service, everyone there was talking about his hospitality. Nobody missed that word for him. Everyone was saying some examples they have encountered with this person. Like Abraham and Gideon, they welcomed people, they gave food, they gave hospitality, and they didn't know that they are going to be angels. They were strangers for them before, but then they realized they were angels. Sometimes when we are providing hospitality, who knows, we would be engaging with the angels. What a blessing it would be. So the Hebrew author is saying here, do not stop showing hospitality to one another, especially to the strangers. Verse 3. Thank you. And keep the graph what you have drawn on the side of your page, because we are seeing all the fruits of the Spirit. If you see that, in the first verse, it is covering love, patience, peace, and all related fruit of the Spirit. And the second one about the kindness, goodness, and gentleness. And the third verse, what we read, imagine that you yourself are going through the same suffering what the other fellow believer in Christ is going through. Paul, when he was traveling to Damascus, Jesus appeared before him. Jesus asked him, why do you persecute me, Saul? He was Saul at that time. Paul did not do anything to Jesus directly, but Jesus himself was warning the sufferings of the fellow believers that were going through because of Paul. All those persecutions Paul was doing before his conversion, Jesus himself was suffering through the same suffering what the other fellow believers were going through. That kind of compassionate we need to have. We might be hearing stories about our believers in Christ, brothers and sisters, somewhere at the end of the world, suffering. Different kinds of suffering. Poverty. They don't have hospitals. Persecution for the name of our Lord Jesus Christ's sake. We will be hearing those things. What have we responded to that? Here, the author is instructing us, keep yourself in their shoes. Empathize with their situation and then show sympathy. Show some kindness to them. Paul, the first outreaching program he inaugurated in the first church he started in Antioch, he went there and he was telling about the people in Jerusalem church was suffering because of poverty. And he told and he collected money from them. He was showing them an example how to outreach people on the other part of the world, their own fellow brothers and sisters are suffering. That's an example he set for us, how we are supporting people. Open doors we are having every week in the impact prayer sheet. We are reading through that. We need to pray for those people. We need to just relate ourselves in their situation, how they are going through suffering. And the next verse, verse 4, please. 4? Verse 4? Thank you. And we can read verse 5 also now.
Keep your lives free from the love of money, and be content with what you have, because God has said, never
Amen. So the verses 4 and 5 is about the self-control. We need to work it out, the self-control. We need to work it out from home. We need to work it out from our marriage relationships. We need to keep our marriage bed pure. In marriage life, there should be absolute chastity outside marriage and absolute fidelity inside marriage. We need to be morally pure outside our marriage, and we need to be loyal to our better half. Through honoring each other in this way, we are honoring Christ, who has united us as husbands and wives. We need to honor each other. It needs a lot of self-control. And the author is insisting that we need to keep that pure. And the second self-control, it is about working out from the bank account, from the love of money. We are not asked to live with poverty and suffering, because money is basic for everything. We need money even to travel in a bus, to get an Oyster card. So for basic fundamental things, we need money. But money, where we have kept our eyes fixed? On the money or on Jesus? Money is not the root of evil, but the love of money is the root of evil. And this man, I know we have lots of rocks today. John D. Rockefeller, he is a business magnate in America, and he is an industrialist. And if you see the American history, they say that he is the wealthiest man for all ages, and in the modern history, he is called as the richest man. He quoted about money. According to him, he said, "The poorest man I know of is a man who has nothing but money. If you have money alone, then he is the poorest." From his own experience, he had to go through all the way to find this quote. But where our eyes are fixed. Imagine, when will we be after money? When will our mind be completely occupied about money or having possessions? Only when we lose trust in God, and only when we trust in ourselves, in our own strength and ability. But the Lord says here, "I never leave you nor forsake you." What a promise He has declared. I will never leave you. Don't worry about money. Don't worry about what the tomorrow brings. Don't worry about having anxious about how to save money for my children's future, or how to have money saved in my bank to spend for my medical expenses, to buy a house, to buy a car. Yeah, basic necessity is important, but thinking about that money for a long time, the Holy Spirit within you would kindle you. No. Jesus has provided everything. He is the sovereign Lord. And the sovereign Lord Himself has promised that He will be beside us. He will never leave us nor forsake us. Let us not be anxious. Let us not be frustrated with what we have or what we don't have. Let us put trust in the God. And it says in the following verse, so we can say in confidence, shall we all say that together, the verse 6, the Lord is my helper, I will not be afraid. What can mere mortals do to me? I tell you a secret. Jesus, who has told or given this promise, has not given to be printed on the books, has not given just to share on Sundays, has not given to share during the prayer meetings. The secret is, He is in action as well. What He says, He will do. He never changes. He is the same. We can trust on his promises. Coming to verses 7 to 9, that is the peak of our sermon today. Remember your leaders who spoke the word of God to you. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. Do not be carried away by all kinds of strange teachings. It is good for our hearts to be strengthened by grace, not by eating ceremonial foods, which is of no benefit to those who do so. Hebrews in chapter 4, there is a verse saying that the word of God is like a sword. It is sharpened on the two edges. Now the sword is kept in the middle. In the verse 8, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. The sword can have two sharpened edges, so it should penetrate on both the ends. The first verse, it is about the commendation of leaders. Remember through whom you have heard the word of God. Remember through whom you came to know the Lord Jesus Christ. It may be your parents, it may be your brothers or sisters, Sunday school teachers, ministers, pastors, evangelists, whoever it may be. They have given you the word of God. Remember them. And we have seen all the fruit of the Spirit from verse 1 to 6. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, and self-control. And in all those, whether those leaders are setting a role model for you. It says that consider the outcome of their way of life. Not only the word, how their life is about. Are they bearing fruit? Are they bearing all these fruits which we have seen? The author has given us clear details about what the fruits are and how we need to follow. And when he is coming, look up at onto your leaders. See whether they are living the life based on all those points I have given before you. If so, then imitate them. Imitate their faith. Paul says boldly to his people, imitate me. He should have a courage to say that. He should be fulfilled in all those things what he has run so far, and he has authentically told that, imitate me. So this is the thing, Hebrew author is also saying us, if you are leaders in their outcome of their life, if they are bearing fruit, imitate their faith. Commendation of leaders. And the following verse, it is about the condemnation of the false teachers. If you have good leaders, follow them. Then this word is coming in the following verse as well. If you find anyone bringing false messages, if there is false doctrines, if there is false teachings, if their life is not an example of what they are saying you before, then don't lose hope. Don't think that you don't have leaders to follow, but still you can look upon Jesus, because Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And even in the commendation of the leaders, in one of the translations it says that consider the end of their life. In NIV it says consider the outcome of their life. If you see the end of their life, it means ending our life in Christ is as important as entering into Christ and being in his salvation regime. Some, they might have entered in the right way, but not have finished their race in a better way. So finishing our life in Christ is very important for a Christian. So commendation of leaders, how we are going to follow them. In your graph, you can see that what you have drawn about the good character and bad character. Over a period of time, for some it might change, for some it may stay the same. But are we following what the word has taught us? Are we going to bear the fruit what Jesus has told us to? That is the one thing you need to do that. This is all we saw, what is happening inside ourselves. What is happening around us? The world is constantly changing every day. Population, it is tremendously increasing in certain places of the countries. And in certain places, people are not showing interest even to get married. Tragedy. And the pollution. You can see the evidences through the natural calamities that are happening everywhere. When you read the newspaper, every day we are seeing some kind of natural calamities. Recently in Japan, and everywhere in the summer, lots of fires. Green pollution is there. And terrorism. In those days, terrorism was a word which we have heard rarely. But nowadays, it is on our doorstep. We are hearing every day. And we are seeing events happening related to that. And the technology, it is advancing in jet speed. The scientists are engaged in inventing hypersonic vehicles. They claim that this hypersonic vehicles will take us from the UK to Australia in 2 hours. So that's the kind of technology it is advancing. So all these changes are sometimes exciting and an enjoyable one. But most of the time, it is alarming us. It is bringing some destruction into us. Jesus, who promised us, he says that, "In the beginning, Lord, you laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of your hands. They will perish, but you remain. They will all wear out like a garment. You will roll them up like a robe. Like a garment they will be changed, but you remain the same, and your years will never end." Jesus has no time limitation, no time changing. His years will never come to an end. And he was contributing himself in the creations of the heaven and the earth. Every creation is under him for control. He can do anything with the creations he has made. So this verse is saying that one day, whatever we are thinking about heaven and earth, which is having a minor change, but that itself will change. But he will remain the same. It is a kind of prophecy that was pre-told about the book, what is we read in Revelation chapter 21. It is shedding light on there saying, "For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away." So the heaven and the earth will not remain the same. And when you read the rest of the verse, it says that, "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth." We might be wondering why the heaven and the earth are going to be vanished, why he is going to roll them like a robe, and why it is so. Because he is going to make a new heaven and a new earth for us. That's what promised in the book of Revelation. And the Hebrew, this author, he is not only giving the prophecy about what's going to happen in future, which we saw in the Revelation as an evidence, he also restated the same prophecy what Psalmist has told few years ago. If you read Hebrews 1, chapter 10, 1, verse 10 to 12, and Psalm 102, verses 25 to 27, it's the same prophecy about the heaven and the earth will not remain, but he will remain the same. Jesus is the same. He is above all creations. He can do anything with what he has. But the Lord whom we love, the Lord whom we trust, is going to be a shepherd, who is going to be our savior forever, he will never sin. He is the same. He is not a human to change. It is a good news for us. It is a news for us to celebrate that my Lord will never change. What he promised, he will do. What he was before, he is now, and he is to come. Shall we pray?